to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 180 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, man, hope you all had a great weekend. Man, first weekend of May is in the books. You know, last weekend I did the show from the patio. That's right. Took it outside, and I am downstairs in the basement, sweatpants and a hoodie. Man, Michigan weather. But this past weekend, 70, sunny, absolutely picture perfect. And like I said, man, it's brutal now. And this is the plan for the next 10 days. Mother Nature likes to tease us before things settle in Michigan. But took advantage of the 2 days of picture perfect weather this past weekend. I got to tell you, up here, the stay at home is in fact until May 15th, but they've started to slowly open some things up, like the lawn and garden sections at the big box stores are now open. So the wife and I put on our stylish masks and we embarked on a journey of standing in line 6 feet apart to get into the store, walked around to get some things to do around the house. I got to tell you, unique experience going out there with these new norms that we got to deal with now and that probably going to have to deal with for some time in the future. That is for sure. When the lines are stretching down aisles to maintain social distancing, that is unique for sure. And that's going to take some getting used to. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, we are going back racing. And that's the important part for us fans and for the sport and the sports world to keep in mind. Obviously, things around the world are more important than sports and all that. But, you know, this show's about having some fun and talking about sports and talking about NASCAR and setting things aside. And while either listening or interacting with the Lap Traffic Podcast and social media, it's about fun. And I'm excited for that part of our lives to get back to some normalcy. While fans aren't going to be in attendance anytime soon, at least we can come together virtually and enjoy some NASCAR racing. Side note, speaking of normalcy, I am so excited to crank the show back up to normal with all its normal segments and all that, and a bit more on that here in just a minute. We went racing at the virtual Monster Mile this weekend. I am excited to talk about that. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Scott Page from Jayski.com. Always great to talk to Scott. Everybody loves Jayski. So if you haven't tuned in to episode 179 yet, make sure you go check out Scott's appearance on the show. Let's see here. Tonight, I am really excited. A first timer on the Lap Traffic Podcast, Noah Gregson, is going to be on, which I am very excited to talk with him. Aaron Studwell is going to be on a little bit later. Got some lucky dog lap down picks, all that good stuff. And there's more. Let's see. Later on, some new news as it pertains to social media. Something new that is going to be debuting tonight, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll see what kind of fool I can make of myself with this. So you'll have to stay tuned. There's a little teaser for you. Thursday, bonus show. A Venturini Motorsports special. I put that out on social media last night, so stay tuned to a bonus show on Thursday, which I am very excited about. And let's see. Oh, I'm excited about this. Lap Traffic Fantasy Players. You should have gotten an email from me about firing the league back up. I am very excited about that. Made some changes. Some picks have already started rolling in, which is awesome. So make sure you are following for or checking your emails, as I'll get a few more reminders and updates out before we get things rolling. And I'll touch on the few key pieces about that towards the end of the show. All right. It's enough. Let's get the show rolling. Let's get Noah Gregson on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the driver of the number 9 with JR Motorsports. He's the winner of the NASCAR E-Racing Experience 300 to open the season at Daytona. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Noah Gregson. Noah, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I want to thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, man, anytime. It is my privilege and honor to have you on the show, man. So excited to talk to you. What's going on, man? How's quarantine life? How's social distancing and all that good stuff?
Well, I've been trying to definitely do social distancing, not social isolation. So just been trying to give people, I guess, their space. But it's been hard to stay in the house for a long period of time. I did it for a couple of weeks, and then it started making me go crazy. So I've been able to get out these last couple of weeks and go mountain biking and road biking, go-karting, stuff like that. But, yeah, just kind of weird times right now, but we're looking like we're going to be going racing here soon, so I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. It's definitely been surreal. Did you set up shop in Charlotte? Did you go back home to Vegas? Where have you been social distancing at?
I went back to Vegas to go spend time with my family, and then have taken this past week. I came back and got back here, back in Charlotte, and been settling back in, been working out, training. I did 6 days a week last week, so it's been kind of a shock to my system, I guess you could say, but it's good to get back and get back in the swing of things. It definitely has light at the end of the tunnel for when we're going to get back on the racetrack, so I definitely can't wait for that. I know everybody at Junior Motorsports and the rest of the fans and everybody within NASCAR, we all can't wait to get back on the racetrack. But everyone's health is our number one priority right now. And I definitely can't wait to get back out there myself.
I am excited to see you guys get back out there. That's for sure. What's the strip like? I mean, Vegas has got to be like, that's got to be so weird for the Las Vegas community right now. They are not used to that town shutting down.
Yeah, definitely very interesting going down there. It's probably one of those deals where you'll never see Vegas like that ever again. Just, I mean, hotels, nobody's on the sidewalks. Nobody's really driving down the strip at all. We probably saw 20 or 30 cars the whole time we were down there. Which,
that's crazy.
I mean, for a person who's grown up down there and has been on the strip several times, I've seen just people everywhere, you know? So
sure.
To see nobody there, it was definitely kind of weird, and hopefully we'll never have it like that ever again. So we're hoping everything can open back up here soon. But sorry, I dropped my phone.
No worries, it's all good.
My bad. But yeah, hopefully, though, everything can open back up here soon.
That's awesome. You know, it's crazy to think you won the Daytona opener in the Xfinity Series. It's only four races ago, but here we are mid-May. You know, teams are used to an off-season. Teams aren't used to this. How are you as a driver and the team going to try to refine that groove and stride again?
Well, it's going to be difficult for sure, not having any practice when we get back and no qualifying. We're going to be on the racetrack cold turkey, going to be firing it off into turn one, WFO, you know, wide open. So it's going to be one of those deals where it's going to be definitely I'm anxious. I'm nervous to get back to the racetrack and what that feeling is going to be like just not being in the race car. But that's where we've been go-karting a couple days throughout the week. Last week I went go-karting today with the rest of the guys that we all train with. So it's going to be good just being able to do that and knock a little bit of the rust off.
Sure.
But I don't fully know. It's going to be weird getting back on the racetrack after not being in the race car for a while.
Absolutely. You know, I know NASCAR, you know, they've said they hope to run all 36 Cup races. I assume they want to run all 33 Xfinity races. Might not be at every track and go in some midweek races as well. You know, what do you think about midweek races? You guys are going to be running two of them for, you know, Darlington and Charlotte here. I'm excited about it. As a driver, you know, does that throw you off too much?
No, I certainly think it's going to be awesome. I've been able to compete in the Truck Series for 2 years back in 2017 and 2018, and we ran at Eldora on a Wednesday
yeah.
Both times.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was kind of weird. That was cool, though, but it definitely kind of throws your weeks off and your weekends. So, yeah, right now I've just been trying to lay low, just spend time at home, trying to regroup, get plenty of hours of sleep, because it's one of those deals where once we get back in the swing of things, it's going to be boom, boom, boom. I think they said seven races in 11 days for
yeah,
NASCAR.
Yeah.
So if you're a NASCAR fan, you're pretty right now, yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a grind for you as a driver, the teams, the crew, the guys at the shop. I mean, it is going to be pedal to the metal, which is that could play into some strategy and stuff like that too, I would think, down the road.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be one of those deals where you're definitely going to need to be in shape for all these races coming up, because they're definitely going to be difficult. That's for sure with the heat of things, you know. Normally, we're able to get into the race car and kind of fire off the season and start getting acclimated to the heat as it starts, temperatures start going up throughout the summer dates and the season goes on. But now we're just getting thrown back in the swing of things with really hot temperatures, and we're going to be doing that first race of the year. We don't get a couple races to start getting acclimated to the car and the length of the races. So I think that's, for myself, going to be the biggest challenge.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Let's change gears for a minute here. Let's talk a little iRacing. From a driver's perspective, you've taken part in some of the Saturday Thunders and all that kind of stuff. How does that help? How do you think that's helped the NASCAR community to be able to at least tune in and watch something on Saturday? How is the whole iRacing thing gone for you?
Well, it hasn't gone too good, but it's certainly been quite exciting, that's for sure. We put on a great show for the fans, in my opinion. So with that being said, I had a lot of fun running it. I'm gonna run again here this next year, or next weekend, I should say. And so I can't wait for it, man. It's a lot of fun just to feel, I guess, a little bit of that racing sensation again. It's one of those deals where not being in the race car, you start getting super hungry to get back into it. So that's kept us race car drivers at least a little bit sane during these crazy times, I guess you could say. So sure. I've been having a lot of fun with it. On paper, the results, not so good. But
you had a little flip this past weekend.
I know. I got spun a couple times this past weekend, and the week before at Talladega, I wrecked and got turned, and yeah, not good. And the weekend before that, I got wrecked two times too. So
get it out of the way now.
That's all right. Thank God we got a reset button, right? Hopefully we can get it out of the way. Yeah, like you said, right now, and be able to get back on the real racetrack and not have to use that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Noah, talk a little bit about the number 9 car. That has been a staple at Junior Motorsports for a long time. Chase Elliott, William Byron, Tyler Reddick all have had success, wins, championships in that 9 car. Talk about what that meant for you to take that seat over.
Well, it's certainly been a privilege to be able to race for Junior Motorsports and Chevrolet and then number 9 car. It's one of those deals where I've been able to drive some pretty big numbers with the 18 truck over at Kyle Busch Motorsports and now the number 9 car. So definitely some big shoes to fill hopping in that car. But I know I got a great team behind me at Junior Motorsports, the Bass Pro Shops, True Timber, Black Rifle Coffee. Paint scheme looks incredible on it. And I think it's the best looking car out on the racetrack. And so just seeing that Bass Pro Shops orange on it, it's definitely definitely a surreal moment being able to partner up with Bass Pro Shops and True Timber and Black Rifle Coffee. They're world-class companies, and it's great to be able to carry those colors.
That's awesome. Starting things off at Darlington to fire the season back up and then to Charlotte, you've got some success there, a few top tens at those tracks. What makes Darlington and Charlotte kind of play into your wheelhouses a little bit?
Well, I liked Charlotte last year. I was able to – everybody started running the fence, and they started pounding the fence too, and I knew if I could just make it to the end of the race, we were going to set ourselves up for a top 5 finish. And we were able to come home fourth, so that was good. And then Darlington, we were able to test there. So I'm really confident about that track. We didn't really show too much on the results during the race. I think we finished 8th or 7th or something like that. But we were able to have a lot of speed in practice. So I know my team, they bring a great race car to the racetrack in practice. And now that we don't have practice, I'm not going to give them the opportunity to lead them down the wrong direction balance-wise. We tend to unload really good, and then I kind of think I know the direction we need to go in, and I screw it all up. So thank God we don't have practice, because I won't give them an opportunity to mess it up, you know?
Oh, that's funny. Noah, talk about the fact that there aren't going to be fans there. You know, when we think about some of the stick and ball sports, you know, Seattle Seahawks, you know, for example, comes to mind, that 12th man defense thing kind of comes into play. As a driver with the car and on the track, you know, it's probably kind of hard to hear the fans on lap, you know, 75, for example, and you really don't hear them till you get out of the car. How much will that play a part, not having fans at the track?
Well, it's going to be weird. I know that, and I've been thinking about it. What's going to happen when you win one of these races? Do you do a burnout? Do you not do a burnout? I don't know. I like to pump the crowd up.
Sure.
If I win the race, so
that's a good question to have to contemplate too.
You know, so it's definitely going to be interesting, but yeah, it's going to be weird just not having fans. I'm going to treat it kind of like a test. I mean, we use different visual references, and sometimes it's where the grandstands start, and sometimes it's where the fans are and whatnot. So you always look at certain things. I know at Road America, I would look at this one guy who was sitting in the same place during the race. And that's when I saw him around the corner. That's when I jump on the brakes to get my braking position. So just little things like that. It's definitely going to be weird and going to be one of those things where we're going to kind of have to adapt to, I guess, the senses that we already have at the racetrack. So, yeah, I don't know. If you win, it's going to be awkward. But thank God we got TV to be able to follow along. I know. We're gonna be the one of the only sports on TV right now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, just can't wait to see the fans back at the racetrack in real life, and I hope they tune in and have a good time in the meantime.
Absolutely, Noah. Where can everybody follow you at on social media?
All my social media is just at Noah Gregson, Gregson with an A, and yeah, Noah Gregson. I'm on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. All that kind of stuff. So I try and be pretty active on those social media handles and have a lot of fun with it. So yeah, I'm just me on there. I like to post a lot and just have a good time.
That's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Noah Gregson for calling into the show tonight. Noah, this was a blast. Stay safe, stay healthy. And man, I really hope I get to see you set the track on fire sometime down the road here in the future.
I got that one. That was good. I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for having me on, and can't wait to talk to you here again soon.
Appreciate you. Thanks, man. Lap Traffic Nation, how awesome was Noah Gregson there? Man, you can feel the excitement. You know he is ready to get back to the track. Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. So glad was able to set that up and get Noah on the show for the first time. Hopefully the first of a few times this year that we have an excuse to get Noah Gregson on the line. Man, such a cool dude. Man, I can't get over the excitement. And I just got to thank everybody. Has that level of excitement going on right now. All right, let's talk about some iRacing here, shall we? So we're six races into the Pro Invitational Series here. William Byron picked up three wins with Hamlin, Hill, and Bowman, each with one. So by default, I think Byron will finish this thing with the most wins and whatever championship they might be awarding here. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Sunday's race was a little bit of a struggle to make it to the end through. And that, I think, had to do with the fact there were about 100 cautions. And it was 75 degrees outside here in Michigan. And we haven't had that in a minute. And I was ready to be outside. And it was tough to stick that through. Next weekend, if it's warm enough, things will be set. I can have the TV outside, so it won't cause as much of an issue. But you know, and I don't want to take anything away from iRacing, the drivers sacrificing their time, Fox, all the like. I've said it for the last 6 weeks now how awesome this is, and I have not changed my perspective on that. But I think now that we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel here, and granted it's going to be without fans, knowing that we're going to have the real thing in about 10, 12 days, I think that's got us all on edge and a little anxious to tune into Darlington here and actually watch some real cars go around the track. I'm excited about the finale to the Pro Invitational Series this Saturday, yes, Saturday, at North Wilkesboro. You know, the last real race was ran there back in 96. I myself really didn't start to become a fan of the sport until 2000, 2001. So outside of seeing some highlights and stories that have surrounded North Wilkesboro, I'm excited to watch this one. It's new for iRacing. Based on what the broadcast said, it's not available yet out there on iRacing. I'm sure the drivers are going to have the availability to practice on it. So I think that's the perfect way to end this league and series. I hope like hell Dale Jr. or Jeff Gordon win this thing. Jr. because he's the reason it's going to be available on iRacing and bringing that track, back to the forefront a little bit. Chances are we're really not going to see Junior win a real race. So to see him get one here on national TV on iRacing at a track he's responsible for bringing back, I think that would be absolutely fantastic. If not Junior, Gordon, it sounded kind of on the spot that he said, I'm going to go run this thing. So if he ends up running it just because he's the last winner there from 96, I love a good story, and I think that's a damn good storyline right there. So I really would love to see one of those two win that. It's great storyline material. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, we are going to get 7 races in 11 days. We are going to get our fill of racing here in about 10 to 12 days when this thing kicks off. Everyone needs to get outside and start doing some sort of rain dance or whatever to keep the weather away. NASCAR does not need Mother Nature impacting things and messing it up even more, which we'll talk with Aaron about that here in just a little bit. As NASCAR returns next week and we lead up to the restart of the 2020 season. All right. Let's keep pressing on. Let's do a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And Lap Traffic Nation, are you ready? Drum roll, please. The Lap Traffic Podcast is now on TikTok. Yes, TikTok. I'm over 30 and I have created a TikTok account. The first TikTok post is going to go up here tonight. And honestly, it's just to look for a new avenue to try to get the show out there to a new audience. I really wasn't feeling a positive response with Instagram. I've been giving it a shot. It's there. I'll continue to post on it. But it's time to try something new. And it seems like if you're over 30, this quarantine has been the excuse to get on TikTok. So I have been messing around with that here over the last week or so. And I'm excited to hell, even if it doesn't do anything, it's something new. So go follow on TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, same as Twitter, and see what kind of interaction we can get on there and promotion for the show and all that good stuff. As always, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, all that good stuff. Subscribe, download, leave a comment, leave an iTunes review, all that good stuff. The giveaways, of course, the giveaways are still there. Things have been a little slow. I can only imagine that's just due to the fact that NASCAR's been a little quiet here with the forced upon off season with quarantine. But got the T-shirt and hat giveaway at 4,500 Twitter followers. Got the rear quarter panel giveaway at 5,000 followers. Thank you to everyone that continues to retweet and help spread word. Let's keep that going. Some new follower shout-outs on Twitter. Mandy Rose at Shortcake 11148, NASCAR fan from Iowa. Welcome to the show, Mandy. Jeff Werner at Jeff Werner 3, NASCAR fan and big sports fan. Matthew Kendrick at CH9SE fan from Ontario, Canada. Chase Elliott fan there, I presume. And Denise at DFAL 1182, a Michigan Tech grad from the great state of Michigan. Always love to have fellow Michiganders following the show, so thank you very much. Stickers and koozies, got a couple requests over the weekend, so those envelopes are stuffed and ready to go as soon as the quarantine is lifted. If you want a free sticker and koozie, all you got to do is go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I will get that over to you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at Race Weather, along with Brian Newdorf, keeping us all up to date on the soon to be live weather here at Darlington and Charlotte in just a couple weeks. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am good. It's Tuesday night. It's show night. It's a bonus week, an bonus episode coming up later this week. It's been busy down here in the Lap Traffic studio, sir. How was your weekend?
It was good. Good. Got to watch some iRacing. And yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good weekend. And now I'm also kind of counting down the days to say, we're back at Darlington. They're back at Darlington.
Yes,
we're
yes,
watching on TV.
Yes, the mindset that I picked up on social media this weekend was that was kind of everybody's case. I know it was my case. I talked about it a little bit earlier, and just to reset the scene for you is like, you know, this weekend was like picture perfect up here in Michigan. It was like in the mid 70s and now it's 46, you know, so like I took full advantage of that. And it was hard to sit in the house and watch the race on Sunday because, one, it was so nice outside, and two, chomping at the bit knowing that we're going to go back to real racing in a couple weeks. Like, you know, if it wasn't for that, I probably would have been able to take in the race a little bit better on Sunday than what I did, knowing that we're going back to the big boy stuff here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I recorded it just because I knew there'd be times I wouldn't be totally into it or wander away, but also I did want to see it.
Sure.
And one thing about the racing was, you know, just in time for it to end, they're finding the right balance. They're, you know, the one reset, the right race length, some of the graphics, some of the mechanics, physics within the simulation. So I think they're really finding the right formula just in time for it to end.
Right.
But,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the downfall, you know, and it, again, and I stressed this earlier, you know, I'm not taking anything away. I'm so appreciative. I know the fans are appreciative for everything we've gotten over the last 6 weeks from Fox, iRacing, the drivers, and all that. But we're ready. I'm excited. I can't wait to talk at length about trucks and Xfinity I can't wait to take the show back to its normal format and all that kind of stuff. Get a little bit more listener engagement back into the show, lucky dogs and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I think this is just kind of like a preparation time. It's like, you know, it's like when it's December 12th and all right, you got all your gifts wrapped, you're ready to exchange, you know, you're ready to get together with family, friends and you know, have that big culmination to, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day kind of thing. Like, it is so close. Let's go. Is it May 17th yet?
No. And, you know, I agree with you. And I'm just literally, and we're going to talk a little about this in a little bit, but just the compressed schedule they're going to have and everything they're going to try to do. And it's going to be just this plethora of racing. And I'm going to have the DVR set because there might be times I'm not around, but I'm not going to want to miss a second.
No, that's crucial, you know, and I think it depends on, you know, it's obviously going to be dependent on individual situations and stuff like that. But we are at a unique time to where, you know, I think there may have been times maybe as the casual fans maybe have missed, but I think casual fans are going to definitely make a point, like you said, either if it's DVR related or what, to tune in, because one, there's nothing else on. Like, this is such a unique opportunity for NASCAR. I hope they're able to capitalize on it.
I hope so too. And there is a real hunger. I don't think need's the right word. There's a real hunger among sports fans for anything. And if whether that's going to be, you know, and IndyCar's coming back in June, and we've really got to kind of get the stage for ourselves. Like, World of Outlaws, no fans this weekend, but yeah, people are staying up and watching the Korean baseball opener on ESPN. That's, people are staying up and watching that at like 3 a.m. That's how much people want sports. And the coverage between FS1 and Fox is going to be great, I hope.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I heard that on one of the local podcasts that I listened to. They were talking about the overseas baseball thing there. And, you know, I think baseball maybe might be the next one to get fired up. I think it's ironic that, you know, basketball and hockey haven't figured that out yet. And I assume that's just due to the fact of, You know, NASCAR's in the unique situation that they can go back to tracks in the South. You know, maybe baseball and the NHL haven't figured out the location perspective yet in terms of being able to play, especially in the Midwest, where obviously hockey is very big. And the West Coast, you know, California and Dallas and hell, even Las Vegas now with the Golden Knights have a big presence there. NASCAR, like I just got to say it again, NASCAR is in a very unique situation to take advantage of fans jonesing to watch something live. And I think that's the key right there.
And I think going a little off normal topic, but going to what you just said, if you look at basketball, you look at hockey, they are sports that are played in a lot closer proximity to one another.
Sure.
Baseball, you're generally more spread out. Unless you're at bat or somebody, you're on a base, and then you're not even always that close. I think it's just a more spread out sport. The stadiums are generally bigger.
Yep.
You can say we're going to restrict it to 25-50% attendance, and we'll figure out what we're going to do with the tickets later. But I think you're in a situation where you can kind of spread out more. And I've also – I'm not sure if they're talking about, like, all the games being played in Arizona. And I can't imagine all the games being played in Arizona and Florida at the spring training facilities. But spring training 2 would resume mid-June, and then the regular season would start in July.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, you'd have to condense that. There's no way you're getting 162 games in.
No. You might even just be happy to say we're going to do 81.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you get half a season in, absolutely. You know, I hope from a fan perspective, you know, and I say this because, like, you know, I love going down to Comerica Park. I love going to catch a couple Tigers games, you know. Even though they're not that competitive, it's you know, it's nice to go downtown, meet up with friends, you know, and make an evening out of it, even if it's not for the, you know, actual competition aspect of it. You know, from that regard, not just for the sports aspect, but for local businesses around, you know, the downtown metropolitan areas, you know, you hope things can get back to where fans can be invited to help businesses and you know, give fans something to do that have been stuck inside for the last 2 to 3 months. But even if they do, you know, I know it's been a topic on local sports stations up here is, you know, well, who's going to go? Who's going to want to go? And like you mentioned, you know, the capacity issue, you know, you obviously got to give priority to season ticket holders because they've made the investment already.
Right.
You know, how do you space that out? You know, like there are so many variables at play in terms of how do you do it, who wants to come, how do you space them out in the stadium, you know, if you know, like from a Lions perspective, you know, you got to buy the full season. From a Tigers perspective, you can do Friday, Saturday, Sunday night packages, you know. How do you decide who gets the actual seat that you bought and who you forced to move, you know? And there's so many factors at play in all that.
And, you know, and I hate to say they're sitting on their hands because I'm sure they're having a lot of these conversations too, but they're kind of being closed doors behind it because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yep.
And I've made this analogy not on this show, but with other people to say, you look at the whole COVID situation, it's like, and this is something very topical. I haven't done it, but so many people are doing jigsaw puzzles. We're trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle. We don't have the picture, and I'm not even convinced we have all the pieces.
Yes, no, I'm with you. You know, and this honestly, this is a good question, and I'm going to tweet this out later tonight, and I'll talk about it on the bonus show on Thursday. You know, if given the opportunity to go, whether it be a race, a baseball game, a basketball game, a hockey game, would you go? And under what circumstances? Like if would you go if you had to wear a face mask? You know, is that a deal breaker for you? You know, like, would you go to a sporting event? Well, you know, whether it outdoor, indoor, you know, there's a bunch of different caveats. I'll keep it general and just go. But with just the yes or no, basically, you know, under what circumstances, I wonder it will attract people to come.
And I think it's going to be regionally dependent. I think that might be the answer you see, because people might be more reluctant to go to an event in Southeast Michigan than they might be to an event in Oklahoma City.
Sure. Yeah. No. That because makes complete because sense,
of,
too.
Because of the, you know, the levels we've seen and just where we are societally wise, you know, what are the restrictions there versus the restrictions here? So.
Sure. Absolutely. That's really good. All right, let's try to take it back full circle here and get back on the track. Let's talk. We really haven't been able to talk weather. We've joked about it from a virtual perspective, but you know, NASCAR is really putting their eggs in one basket here, hoping to get 7 races in 11 days. Aaron, what's the general weather like in Charlotte and Darlington this time of year? Are they grasping at straws, or do you think this is something that they can realistically maybe pull off?
I think it's something they could realistically pull off. We still see, especially a little bit further from the coast with Charlotte, that we don't see a lot of like afternoon showers and thunderstorms. They're going to be more driven by fronts coming through. But this has been a pretty active season, especially for the southeast. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it out there to say, yeah, we're going to race all 7 races without an interruption. I would not be surprised the other way. You might wind up seeing some doubleheaders. You might wind up seeing some, you know, official races going to halfway. But also with a lot of these at night, if we do get any pop-up showers and it just becomes a timing issue, they will generally fade. So that's that. It's going to be a lot of forecasting.
Sure.
What's also going to be interesting is going to be how impatient NASCAR and the networks will be in saying, track drying, we're going to stay here. Hey, this race is starting at, say, 7:30 local, and it rains to start, and we're going to start it at 9. Are we going to wait to start it at 9, or are we going to try to run a doubleheader the next day? Then everybody has to – they're not – and well, I don't think they're staying the night. I think it's going to be one day down and gone.
It's one day show, so I don't even think they will have – I mean, now maybe if it's – the next day they might, but maybe that's why they've given Monday as kind of like the open day. I don't think they will have the ability to do the doubleheader because I don't think all the teams and the trucks and the car, I don't think everything's going to be there because it's an unload, get to the grid and load it back up kind of things. Well, I will say I hope you and Brian are ready to go to and do some real work here. You guys have had an extended off period yourselves here. Are you ready to crank back up on social media with some weather forecasts?
Oh, come on. I've been virtually busy, virtually working all the time.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, both he and I will be ready to go. Looking forward to it, I'm sure.
Oh, that's awesome. So what else are you expecting, anticipating, or looking forward to around getting back going here?
A couple topics I just want to kind of toss out to you. Do you expect a lot of mistakes on pit road? And do we start to expect seeing drivers dealing with fatigue? And I know that last race in the segments are going to be shorter races, 312 miles, 500 kilometers. But are we going to start seeing pit road mistakes by people just being tired?
I would have to anticipate lots of pit road mistakes, you know, especially, you know, teams have just been able to get back going. Who knows what type of preparation and stuff like that in terms of the pit crews. I expect to see a bunch of pit road speeding penalties by the drivers, you know, especially, you know, you've got guys that have been playing iRacing and all that kind of stuff. And I know that's a simulation and there's a lot of carry and crossover there, right? But you have no practice time. It is take it to the, especially the first Sunday race at Darlington on the 17th. It's unload, get in the car, 2 or 3 pace laps, and you're going green flag racing. I expect things to maybe be a little slow. I expect some single file just to get everybody in the groove, which that should be expected by everybody, and I don't think there should be any criticism with that. But, you know, I also going to have to imagine NASCAR is going to throw a competition caution on lap 25 for tire wear, for drive, you know, just to get a groove. But you get that first full pit road with a comp caution, I expect a lot of mistakes, and you know that could make or break your race, you know. So these races could be won or lost on pit road for sure. And I think that's an awesome aspect of it. I like this aspect. You know, there's been criticism over the years in terms of NASCAR, you know, with these practices, you know, 3-4 hour, not four, but you know, a second and a happy hour practice on Saturday that's, you know, two and a half hours long. These guys don't need that kind of time out there, you know, especially with a repeat package at a track like Michigan, for example. You know what you got out there. You got a big ass spoiler and you got downforce, you know, like what do you need 3 hours worth of practice for? But now you got no practice, you know, so it's going to be interesting. I really think that pit road is definitely going to come into play, and I'm excited about that, to be honest with you.
Do we see this being the not necessarily the model, because I think you might want to do qualifying in one practice session. Do you see this kind of compressed schedule being the model going forward?
Absolutely. I don't see how you can't, you know, you're looking at, you know, if we remove this whole pandemic thing and we just look at where we're at, you know, a couple months ago and we're looking to Pocono as our model for how are we going to compress and do a double in terms of two cup races, Xfinity Truck and ARCA in one weekend. Obviously, that was going to be a limit towards practice and all that kind of stuff. You have to look at that, you know, and I hope, but I know NASCAR will take a look at that and see, you know, could that maybe help fans down the road get to the track? Could that maybe be a factor in the positive to get people back to the track, knowing you got a compressed weekend? You know, maybe you can do a Friday, Saturday night feature. Maybe you can do a Saturday, Sunday feature, you know, so that fans don't maybe have to take as much time off work or, you know, anything
hotel
that goes
costs
around getting to the track. You know, if you can cut costs, maybe that can bring more people out, not maybe just for the Sunday cup race or the Saturday night cup race, but maybe that can bring more fans out for the event for the whole weekend.
And what's the big factor you see people saying it's too expensive to stay nearby? It's too expensive to get a hotel. You only needed to get it from one night. Now you're hoping hotels don't jack the rate up to $400 a night.
Sure.
Two nights at $200.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and two, you know, if you only got to go, you know, if you only got to sleep in a tent one night, you know, you're probably more likely to do that than you are if you got to do it two or three nights. Right. You know, so, hey, one night tent camp, you know, I'll struggle through that. Sure. You know. So.
Yeah, but you also have the people who are going to be wanting to get to the track and wanting to have the experience. They'll go down as early as possible just because they miss the infield. They miss that camaraderie. And I guess, can you have that now? I mean, are we going to have at any point this season? And I guess we'll have to see what the fall looks like. But where we have anything on the infield, any kind of camping.
Yeah. Well, hell, events, Michigan
concerts,
Michigan public campgrounds aren't even at right now. Don't even have the green flag to open campgrounds until the middle of June here in Michigan. So,
right.
You know, that's and that's the thing, you know, it's definitely going to be some workarounds for the rest of the season for sure. Real quick, we'll end it with this virtual North Wilkesboro. I think that's cool as hell, man. We're going to get North Wilkesboro on the iRacing. Perfect way to end it out. I think that, you know, like I said at length there, fans are ready to get back to see some real stuff, but to get a nostalgia track to close this thing out, that's pretty cool.
It's perfect. It's a great way to wrap it up. I looked for an entry list. I couldn't find one, but I'm hoping some people back in. I hope Gordon's winds up back in the car. And I know they're talking about throwback paint schemes. And then the last person to win a race at North Wilkesboro was Gordon. So, yep. And I'm hoping they show, you know, they've been kind of showing lead-in races on the FS1 broadcast at least. So I hope they show that 96 race. That'd be phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, you lead into that with your broadcast on Saturday at 3 o'clock or 3:30, whatever time that starts. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, and the one thing I did miss with Dover was Clint Bowyer. I didn't.
Ah,
and I understand
yes.
You need a weekend off, and yes. I understand all that. But, yeah.
Well, and that
he
picture
was nothing
with
against Regan Smith.
The picture with the beer cans on the rig, that was I mean, that's perfect. That you couldn't have asked for anything more than that.
No.
All right, so we are going to try to get you and Mr. Brian Newdorf next week on at the same time to kind of celebrate going back racing with a dual weather forecast. You guys will have your work cut out for you to try to plan for a few races well in advance there, but we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah, I'll sip out on the branch if you won't, looking 10 days out.
Well, and the plus is the show the following week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and we'll maybe only have a day, and we can talk about the Wednesday cup race at Darlington the Tuesday before. So we'll get a real close forecast with that.
Yes, that is great. And I'm just really looking forward back to getting back to real racing.
Absolutely.
And as you said earlier, everything with the iRacing, with the company itself, FS1, Fox, the broadcasters, the drivers, every level of support, the sponsors have been great. And it's just, you know, it's a nice way to get us through all this.
Absolutely. 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll end it with that. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather, Brian Newdorf at NASCAR_WXMAN. Sir, great to catch up with you and look forward to talking to you and Brian next week, sir.
Fantastic. Have a great week.
Thanks, man. You too. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Later.
See ya. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Aaron Studwell and look forward to a double weather forecast next week with Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf. But right now, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. And I'm very excited for this, mainly because I think I got a good lucky dog this week. And my lucky dog is going to Dale Jr. And I think Dale Jr. is deserving of the lucky dog, one, for the fact that he's taken time out to do the iRacing. He's taken time out to go and get North Wilkesboro cleaned up and digitally imaged and scanned and all that good stuff for iRacing. And to close it out, I said a little bit ago, I love a good storyline. And I think that's a great storyline. So Dale Jr. getting my lucky dog. My lap down, Bumblebees. I forgot to fill this in at the start of the show with the nice weekend and all that. The bumblebee infestation on the deck is a real thing. And we got a little bumblebee nest that I'm hoping kind of fizzles its way out, because I definitely don't want to have to do anything about that, because I know those are good for the insect world and all that kind of stuff. And but I don't want them ruining my deck either. So hopefully we reached out to somebody and they said it's an active time for them right now and that they should go away in about a week or so. So hopefully they go away. So bumblebees are getting the lap down at the moment. Some tweeted responses. Lisa at LL Chilnana's lucky dog, her hubby, because I didn't watch the iRacing, but instead helped plant flowers and vegetables in the garden. A lap down is Lisa because she didn't watch the iRacing, because she was helping plant in the garden there. I love the duel there. That's very fitting. I love that. And CJ at CJ LaPearl's lucky dog has to be Byron. He's unstoppable in iRacing. A lap down is Jimmy Johnson, since he can't figure out how to keep his virtual car on the track. Thankfully, he can drive a real car better than a virtual one. And also, NASCAR executives get a lucky dog because we're going back racing in 2 weeks. Awesome, CJ. Absolutely love that for sure. All right, we got, I think, one call on the Wave Around Hotline for you guys. So let's get this week's call on the Wave Around Hotline dialed up.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News. This weekend with the Gold Invitational race at the virtual Dover International Speedway. You know, it's been what I've been expecting, you know, the Monster Mile, you know, a lot of wrecks and everything, just so many cautions. And but it was absolutely, definitely entertaining to watch. And, you know, I wish, honestly, I was there today. If this was the real show, I was supposed to be at Dover today for the race, but obviously with the coronavirus, obviously that did not happen. So hopefully, you know, I'll be down there in Dover in August. I'm really hoping for a doubleheader down in Dover, honestly, but, you know, let's see what NASCAR decides on that as we go down the road with that. But other than that, you know, definitely William Byron, you know, has been dominant. Three of the last four Pro Invitational races, he's won. You know, he's very good at iRacing, and that's why he came into this sport. And, you know, I think there's going to be good things for him coming down the road with, you know, the experience he has on iRacing. This may help him, you know, in the real world. So anyway, first, my lucky dog for this week, definitely unrelated to the race, but I'll say it anyway. The news this week that NASCAR is coming back in real life a week from Sunday at Darlington. Absolutely, really psyched about this. You know, I've been waiting a month and a half for NASCAR to return, and it's going to be the first sport major professional sport in this country to return. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be absolutely exciting. And, you know, I'll definitely be watching that a week from Sunday, definitely on my TV set. And my last down, definitely, as I said before, at this point I could not get down to Dover this weekend. I was really hoping if the coronavirus did not happen, I was supposed to be down there today. But obviously, you know, what can you do in that situation? It's a bummer. But at least the good thing is I'm able to use that ticket from this year for next year in the spring. And hopefully I'll get down there if, you know, they allow fans in August. So, anyway, enjoy your week, Brandon. Laugh Traffic Nation, stay healthy. And, of course, I'll talk to you next weekend after the finale of the Pro Invitational race at North Wilkesboro. Really looking forward to that. And have a good weekend. Take care, and thank you so much, Brandon.
Oh, Matt, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your dedication to the Wave Around Hotline for sure. Cannot wait to get back to a full Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment here with your guys' responses and phone calls. Cannot wait for that. All right, let's see here. All right, normally it is this time in the show under normal circumstances that it'd be time for a little Lap Traffic Fantasy. And I am so excited that in part, Lap Traffic Fantasy will be back next week as I will be able to make some picks as well as with one of you guys to make some picks. So I'm excited for that. And then the following week, man, it's going to get crazy because we'll have some midweek races. So the standings are going to get shifted around quickly and often, which is going to be really cool. And I have been waiting a very long time to play the picks music. And I'm going to load up the picks music, one, just because I can, and kind of just recap the highlights of the Fantasy League and what changes are made. And if anyone wants to hop on board, we're only four races in. So you got plenty of time to do that here. So let's cue up some picks music and recap the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. All right, if you're a Lap Traffic Fantasy player, you know that all three series are involved, the Trucks, the Xfinity, and the Cup Series. And new this year, the Cup Series is limited based on the Lap Traffic segments there to one playoff Cup driver from 2019 per segment this year. All of the rules are on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. All you have to do is click the fantasy link. And if you want to join, like I said, we're only four races in. You're not that far back. There's still a chance to make some noise. How to register and all that is on the website, so go check that out. But Lap Traffic Fantasy players, you should have gotten an email from me. And here are just some of the changes. Race segments. The initial format included races that the Cup was off. And obviously, that's still going to be the case if that works out that way. I am going to try to keep it as close as possible with 13 Cup races for segments 1 and 2, and then the 10 Cup races for the playoffs. Things might change if there's doubleheaders or something like that the last weekend where maybe it goes 14 and 12 for the segments. I'll keep everybody up to date on that as the schedule comes out further down the road. Points are going to be added together for the week. For example, the two Darlington Cup races and the Xfinity race will count for 1 week. And then the two Charlotte races, Xfinity and truck race, will count as 1 week added together. Your picks, though, you will still only be able to pick one Cup playoff driver for each of the Cup races. And those will all be due on Saturday before the race weekend starts. So check the email or let me know if you have any questions. Atlanta, we all made picks for Atlanta. Those picks are going to be scrapped. Initially, not knowing how long this off-season, second off-season was going to last, I thought I'd keep them. But since we don't know when we're going to go back to Atlanta, I'm scraping those picks and we'll repick Atlanta when we go back. And as I mentioned, all picks for races at Darlington are going to be due by midnight Saturday, May 16th. Picks for both Cup and Xfinity races will be due. And then picks for all Charlotte races will be due midnight Saturday, May 23rd. Be on the lookout for some reminder emails and any other changes that might need to take place. I did get a question regarding Matt Kenseth. No limit on the number of times you can use Matt Kenseth's. I think that's fair. And if anyone wants to take the risk on picking Matt Kenseth, I encourage and support that. So no limit on the amount of times you can pick Matt Kenseth. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 180 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And on TikTok, Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean, or your favorite podcast hosting site. Big thanks to Noah Gregson and Aaron Studwell for calling into the show tonight. Be on the lookout for the Thursday bonus show with Drew Dollar and Mason Diaz from Venturini Motorsports. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!